You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Numbers 13. Turn there and that'll be kind of our text. It's nothing new here, but it's just something we need to hear over and over. I want to talk to you tonight about an attitude of victory. Everybody say attitude.
Attitude.
You know all the platitudes about attitudes and about having an attitude of gratitude and all that stuff. And your attitude determines your altitude. And, you know, we can come up with all kinds of catchy sayings and everything. But the truth is that your attitude is important. Going into a situation or a crisis or a tragedy or going into an endeavor. I mean, if you're trying to fulfill a dream or a goal in life, if you're trying to achieve something, your attitude is what's going to determine the outcome of that thing. Because if your attitude's not right, you'll give up. First time it rains, first time it gets cold, first time you have opposition, first time somebody says you can't do it. You know, and you don't want your attitude to work against you. You know, so it's always too soon to quit. Always. We are Christians. We should have a can-do attitude. We believe that God is with us. And obviously, if we've heard from God, if God's spoken to us, and God's brought something alive to us, or we're standing on a promise concerning our lives, our marriage, our bodies, finances, our mental state, or whatever, if we're standing on a promise, then we should have that promise, look at it with hope, with courage, with confidence, with an attitude of, that's going to happen in my life. Not that just that it's God's will, not that just that God promises, but you know what? It's going to happen for me. Hallelujah. He promised that to me. That's His will for my life. Hallelujah. He's my healer. See, that's just a can-do attitude. Not a give-up, throw-in-the-towel, quit-type attitude, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. If it's business, you stay in there till you win. You know, how long do you beat that thing? Till you win. You just keep at it till you win. How long do you believe God? Till Jesus comes. Are you with me? Yeah, but I've been trusting God for a whole week. Oh, really? Well, trust Him for another week. Amen? Yeah, but I've been quoting that word and standing on that word for a month, year. Well, it doesn't change the word. Word's still true. God's still good. He's not a man, He'd lie. The Son of Man, He'd repent. He's the Lord God. He changes not. You know, if you've done it for a year, do it for another year. Just do it till you get it. It's always too soon to quit. You know, in fact, I read a book called Always Too Soon to Quit by Lewis Timberlake. This is years ago, I read this book. And he talked about adversity. And he said adversity can cause some people to break down and others to break records. I like that. You know, I'm not going to be the one that breaks down. I'm going to be the one that breaks the record. You know, so you can always look at problems and look at crisis and look at challenges and look at pain and look at lack and look at, depression, whatever is going on. There's all kinds of things going on in our lives. You could look at those things as your destiny and your future, or you can just look at them as just obstacles to overcome. Problems are just opportunities is all they are. You've been living your whole life for this. Are you with me? To overcome obstacles, to overcome problems, to overcome these things. You've been learning the Word and praying and seeking God and standing on His Word and living for Jesus. And here comes the test. You're ready for it. It wouldn't come if you weren't ready. God wouldn't allow the devil to come if you weren't ready. God's not behind the test. He doesn't send the test. But He sure stops the devil from putting more on you than you can handle with God. God doesn't put it on you. God doesn't send it. Well, God will never put more on you than you can handle. No, God doesn't put it on you. The devil puts it on you. God stops the devil and keeps him from putting more on you than you can handle as you grow in your faith. Are you with me? I'm more responsible now than I was a year ago, more responsible now than I was 10 years ago. I'm also more mature, hopefully, than I was last year and 10 years ago. So new levels, new devils. Are you with me? But also with new levels come new power, new insight, new knowledge, more maturity. Praise God. That's good stuff. You know, when Goliath came up against the Israelites, soldiers all thought, he's so big we can never kill him. David looked at him and said, he's so big I can't miss him. They had two different attitudes, you know. This thing is huge. Well, I mean, things sometimes are looking just right for a miracle, aren't they? That should be our attitude going into a situation. And that's the attitude of God's people. That was always what God was trying to get people to do, start with, is to believe him and trust him. If he could get them past their inferiorities, get them past their weaknesses, get them past their lack of confidence, and get them in faith, if he could get them in faith, hallelujah, he could get them the victory. No question about it. He talked long with Moses. Took Moses a while to get in faith. Moses is backing up and crawfishing the whole time God was calling him. But finally Moses got right. And finally got in faith and believed God, stood up and spoke what God said to speak. And when he did, God showed up. Took him a while to work on Jeremiah. It took him a while to work on Abraham. You know, but when Abraham finally got it, when he finally got in faith, are you with me? He finally became what he believed. He finally became what was written about him. And God wants us to become what we believe. The fact is, we are becoming what we believe. The problem is, we're believing the wrong thing. So we're becoming the wrong thing. You need to start believing what God says and start becoming what God says and start doing what God says you can do. You are somebody. You do count. You are important. No matter what the world says. Don't worry about the world. My. It's all going to perish and pass away. All that matters is what God says in the end, ultimately, anyway. Amen? What are you doing listening to the world? Woo! Praise God. You know, there was William James, who was actually a psychiatrist or a psychologist, often called the father of pragmatism. He was an American psychologist years ago. He said this, and I'm not advocating him. I just thought it was a good point he made. He said, your belief at the beginning of any project determines its outcome. That's scriptural, really. You got to start this thing out in faith. You know, I mentioned earlier Hebrews 11:6 in passing, where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, number one, and that he is a rewarder, number two, of those that diligently seek him. So those are two necessary things. When you come to God, you have to first believe he is, and then you have to believe that he will reward you if you diligently seek him. Or else, why come? Are you with me? So we come to God in faith. It pays to believe. It pays to pray. It pays to serve God. I mean, I wouldn't waste my time tithing. I wouldn't waste my time coming to church. I wouldn't waste my time seeking God if there was no benefit from it. And you say, well, that's self-serving. No. That's what God says. Why would I serve God if I'm going to go to hell serving God? I'm serving God because I'm going to heaven for serving God. Are you with me? I'm going to live forever by serving God. I'm going to be in his presence. I'm not serving him to not be in his presence. I'm serving him to be in his presence. Oh, hallelujah, because in his presence is fullness of joy. I openly say I need him. You might say that's self-serving. Yeah, the best thing you can do and I can do is serve God because it's the best thing for you. It's in your best interest to do so. You say, well, that just sounds like your motives are wrong. Well, I didn't put the promise out there. God did. I didn't put the carrot on the stick. I didn't say give and it shall be given. Jesus said it. I didn't say serve me and I'll bless you. God said serve me and I'll bless you. I didn't say believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll go to heaven and miss hell and not die, but live forever. Jesus said that. Are you with me? Because it does pay to serve the Lord. It does work to believe him, to trust him, to stand on his word. Will there be trials? Yes. Will there be tribulation? Sure. Will there be opposition? You bet. But you know what? God's bigger than the opposition. And you and I got to quit crying out to God about how big our mountain is, and we ought to start crying to our mountain about how big our God is. Amen? Hallelujah. Quit magnifying the problem and start magnifying our God, exalting him. Have a can-do attitude. We'll get through this. We'll plow through this. We'll make it. We win. We're Christians. We're believers. God didn't lie when he told me this. He told me the truth. You know, look the Bible in the face and say, that's the truth, and that's the way it's going to be for me in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Numbers 13. You know, where they got off, and the spies that had a bad report in Numbers 13, where all this took place, where the spies that had a bad report got off, where they got off was they had their focus and their faith in the wrong thing. They had the wrong attitude going into this thing. God told Moses they'd come out of Egypt, you know, been delivered in Exodus. Now they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And God told Moses to pick out 12 men, one from each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, heads of the tribes. These were princes of the tribe. These weren't just ordinary people picked out at random by lottery. I mean, they were princes, leaders of their tribes, people that when they spoke, their tribe listened. Are you with me? Leaders among the people. So they had influence. They had authority. They had the ear of the people. Are you with me? They were well known. They were a part of the leadership. They were leaders and princes. And he told him, he said, Moses, you pick out 12 men, one from each tribe, leaders, princes, heads, chiefs, as it were, and send them out to the land that I am giving you. Everybody say giving you. You know, that's significant as you're in Numbers 13. Notice this, first, second, third verse. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Everybody say giving?
Giving.
Okay. So that wasn't in question. That was a done deal. God was giving them this land. They weren't going out there to see if they could get it. They were going out to see what kind of land it was. They weren't going out there to see if it was attainable, reachable, achievable. No, no. God already gave it to them. It was theirs. They were just going out to see their approach, their strategy, what were they going to do. But it's theirs. You know, getting the land was not an option. They were going to get the land. It was given to them by God. Are you with me? But like anything that God offers, you need to take time to study it. You need to look into it. You need to go into it. You know, God has offered you all kinds of promises, exceeding great and precious promises. All through the Bible, there's many promises. Promises of healing, promises of peace, promises of joy, promises of wisdom, promises of protection, promises of favor, and blessing, all kinds of promises. I mean, the list is just endless, on and on and on. God promises all those things. It's one thing to say in a general sense, you know, God's promised me a lot of stuff. But it's another thing to really go and find out what they specifically are. And then you go in specifically and claim those promises, stake your claim and put your foot upon it, as it were. So that's what he wanted them to do, is go into the land and look at it, find out where everything was, and decide what they were going to go after. This tribe going here, this tribe going there, this tribe going there. So when they came back, they could go out and possess, because they had full knowledge, because they understood what God offered. They had seen it. They had leadership. They had people giving them insight into this city and this area and that field and that mountain and that valley. Are you with me? And now they could go get it. That's what he sent them in to do. Are you with me? That's what we need to do. We can't just say generally God blesses us. You know, we have to say, okay, I'm standing on this promise. It is here. It is there. God says it here. It is in this verse. And he says this specifically. And I'm claiming that and standing on that. I think it's interesting, Joshua, first chapter, when they finally, after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, that God tells Joshua in the first chapter, he said, everywhere you put the sole of your foot, that I have given you. Did y'all hear that? So if you don't put your foot down on something, you're not going to get it. Maybe in theory or abstractly, it's offered to you, but you'll never experience this till you put your foot on it. Till you stake your claim on, by his stripes, I was healed.
Amen.
Are you with me? According to 1 Peter 2:24. According to Mark 16:18. In the name of Jesus, I lay hands on the sick and they recover. Are you with me? According to 3 John 2. God's will is that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you with me? Until you stake your claim, till you put your foot on it, till you spy out the land and then go possess it, it's not yours. Now, you have to have a can-do attitude. Like Joshua and like Caleb. You can't say, well, yeah, I know God says that, but. I know God says that, but. It's just so hard. It's just too many. I mean, the devil's a big devil. lots of demons out there, a lot of opposition out there. You know, people don't believe that anymore. And a lot of that stuff probably passed away. And hello. See, your attitude going into it's going to determine the outcome. If you don't have a can-do attitude, if you don't say, hey, we're well able to possess this, like Caleb and Joshua said, you're not going to possess it. Even though it's promised, even though it's offered, even though it's there, you don't put your foot down on it, and you don't have that attitude of, you know, I can, not I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can't do what God says I can do. I can do what God says I can do. Are you with me? Well, anyway, he sent these 12 spies out. And their job was, it says here, send me to spy, men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am given to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. All of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Everybody say heads. Okay, it lists who they are. 17 verse says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way to the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, why is he trying to find out whether they're strong or weak? What does it matter? God said they could have it. Well, some cities are going to take a little more effort than other cities. But that's okay. We can still do it in Jesus' name. Might have to dig in a little deeper. This might be a little stronger stronghold, but we can overcome it. This might be a little weaker stronghold. We might just knock this over overnight. This one may take us 2 or 3 days or maybe a week. Are you with me? But he never said, see if you're able to take it. Oh, we're well able. Are you kidding? No. No, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We had the victory through Christ Jesus. He always calls us to triumph in Christ. And greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. That's not. I don't go into the Bible to find out if I believe. I go into the Bible to find out what I believe. Are you with me? I am a believer. Believing's what I do. If I can find it in the Bible, I can believe it. I'm not looking in the Bible to see if I believe. I am a believer. If it's there, I believe it. But I have to go in there and find it because I'm not going to experience it, even though it's promised to me, even though it's offered to me. I've got to go put my foot on it. I've got to have this can-do attitude, and then I need to juncture that with knowledge of the situation, knowledge of the promise, and then I need to stand on that promise. Hallelujah. Woo! So he told them, he said, look, 18 verse, see what the land's like, whether the people who dwell in are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, so you can get your strategy down, which way you want to take this thing, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage, be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they did that. They went out and they brought back some fruit, and all these things took place, just like Moses said. They went out for 40 days and they spied out the land. I like that. That's good. See, Canaan always will be a type of your Christian walk. Canaan land is not a type of heaven. We often sing those songs about Canaan land, sometimes paralleled to heaven, but really that's not what Canaan land. Oh, Canaan land, Beulah land, and Canaan land, and the land of ghosts. All that's here on the earth, not heaven. Are you with me? They're good songs. I like the songs. Don't get me wrong. Just not theologically correct all the time. Sometimes a lot of songs we sing are, you know, they're nice songs. They're not demonic or anything, but they're not always theologically correct. You're not going to fight the devil in heaven. You're not going to run off people from your mansion. There's no squatters in your mansion in heaven that you've got to run off, that you've got to evict, that you've got to call the law to get out of your place. No, when you get to heaven, there's no opposition in heaven. Are you with me? Canaan's a type of our Christian life here on the earth where we do have opposition. Are you with me? There's a war going on. There's a war going on for your soul, for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for your job. There's a war going on for your health. There's a war going on for your mind, for your sanity, for this country and this nation. There is a war going on. It is a spiritual war. Nothing for you to be afraid of, but it's something you do need to be aware of. You need to be aware of your adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. whom resists steadfast in the faith. You need to be aware that you have authority over him, but you need to be aware you have to exercise that authority. You need to be aware that Jesus has conquered, no question, but you need to be aware that you need to take that responsibility and that authority in that name and use it and go forth and drive the devil off your stuff. Because he will sit down and he will squat, as it were, and claim squatter's rights on your mind and tell you you're just crazy and there's nothing you can do about it. The Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And so you take your word and you run the devil off. Are you out there? So in a battle, you got to fight. You can't just lay down. And in this life, we have to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Bible tells us, 1 Timothy 6:12. So life is a fight. It's a battle. But the good news is we win. It's a good fight because if we stand up and we fight, we will win. But if we lay down, we're going to get run over like anybody else. With the authority, with the promise, with the potential to make it and go over, but because we just give up, we lose by default, by not entering the fray. There's no neutral here. You quit, you lose. Can't quit. He says, it's too late, I already quit. Well, get back up. You can start over again. You may have quit for a long time. Let's get back in the fray. Let's get back in the arena. Let's get back on the road here. Hallelujah. Road of victory. Let's get that can-do attitude. Hallelujah. God said it, I believe it. Hallelujah. God's bigger than anything I'm ever going to face. God and me, we are a majority. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Well, anyway, these spies went out and they came back. And it says in the 25th verse, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. I like that. Kind of like ministers do, kind of like preachers do, ministers do, pastors do, kind of like I do. I go spy out the land during a week and look at it and walk in it and come back and I bring forth fruit and tell you about it and give you pictures of it and explain it to you and bring back word of what can be done and what can be achieved and what you can have. The problem, though, and the difference is these guys, some of them, 10 of them in particular, did something God didn't tell them to do. It says in the 7th verse, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, however, but, let me get negative here. What are you getting negative for? Why would you get negative? I mean, God says thus and so. What else do you need to say? I mean, God's not like a doctor. You can't go get a second opinion. He's the only God there is. When God says something, that's the way it is. 10 commandments are not 10 suggestions. They're 10 commandments. The promises are all yes and they're all amen. That's what the scripture says. They're not yes, amen, and nevertheless. No, they're yes and they're amen. They're not no and whatever. But they said nevertheless. That's first stop. Now, oh, whoa, slow down. I know God says that, but I know he promises this nevertheless. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Who cares? The cities are fortified. God's bigger. And very large. Well, he's on a huge side of big. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They're big guys. Well, how big is your God? The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites. Sound like a bunch of parasites on your land. The Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Doesn't matter who's there. Have you seen the size of this man, Goliath? Man, he's huge. David looks at him and says, yeah, there's no way I can miss that guy. He's too big to miss. Different attitude, see? Different attitude. Now, all this negativity going on, Caleb could see where this was going, and he knew the influence these men had. They were heads. They were leaders. They were bringing back word about God's promises. Well, my brother and sister, I know the Lord used to heal, and he did heal, and we know that he healed the blind man, and he healed the deaf man, but he did that really to show how spiritually blind we are and how spiritually deaf we are to the truths of God. And so really, today he's not really doing that physically, but he is opening up your spiritual eyes. But if you're blind, you're going to have to stay blind. And if you're deaf, you're going to have to stay deaf. And God just doesn't really do that anymore. I know it says that, but nevertheless. Are you out there? Oh, really? Who am I to say what God can't do when God says he can do it? Who am I to say the promises don't work when God never said they didn't work? He says they do work. Who am I to tell you you can't have what God says you can have? Who am I of all people, as a leader of the people, to come bring you word that says you cannot achieve what God says you can achieve? You cannot have what God says you can have. You cannot be, you'll never be what God says you can be. This is 2013. Things have changed, my brother and sister. Yes, a lot of things have changed, but God hadn't. I have no doubt lots of things have changed. But God hasn't. His word hadn't. His promises hadn't. His will hasn't. His heart and nature and character hadn't. His love for you hadn't changed. Woo, his ability hadn't changed. He hadn't gotten any weaker. He's just as strong as he ever was. Caleb quieted or stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Now what was he basing that on? What God said. He was very focused on what the Lord said, not what everybody else said. He saw the same things they saw. He saw the same cities. He saw the same giants. He saw the same walls, the same chariots. He saw all the opposition. But see, he saw that from this standpoint. He saw it through the eyes of God promising all that to them. The bigger they were, the harder they'd fall. The bigger the challenge, the bigger the victory. Hallelujah. He had a can-do attitude. We are well able to overcome it. Woo. In fact, he did his best to stop them and their negativity, just like you had to do. You have to stop that negativity. You have to stop those voices that say, you cannot have what God says you have. You cannot do what God says you can do. You cannot be what God says you are. You have to stop that negativity because that will destroy you. You choose the people you hang around, the people you listen to, the people you take advice from, the people you fellowship with. I'd rather be alone on the right road than being in a group on a wrong one. Are you with me? Thing is, you don't have to be alone. There's a lot of people who believe God and trust God. It encourages your faith. It lifts you. And are you with me? Believe with you and pray with you and stand in faith with you. I wouldn't listen to the naysayers. Get them out of the house. I'm not talking about running off your husband or your wife. I'm just saying, are you with me? You know, you can't control everything, but I mean, you can control your friends, the people you associate with. Friendship should be based on common ground. You should hang around people that love the Lord. Are you with me? That encourage your faith, that you'll be able to encourage. If they're on a low level of faith, that's okay, just as long as they'll listen to you and you can minister to them. But if it gets to where it's just continually negative, continually combative, continually argumentative about you trusting God, you're trying to believe God here and all they're doing is tearing down your faith, you need to pray for them and stay away from them. Pray for them. Don't hate them, but are you with me? The Bible's very plain about fellowship. You know, that's a whole other sermon right there. New Testament talks about fellowship and who to fellowship with. So the story goes on, you know it, 31st verse. But the men, Caleb said, "Let's do it. We can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go." They just flat out said, "No, we can't do it." Wow, man. Now you see why God's so grieved. This is not a light thing. These weren't just uneducated people. In other words, people didn't know about the ways of God and the things of God. They just came out of Egypt. Are you kidding me? They just saw God split the Red Sea by dry land. Whoa. Are you kidding me? They just saw all these 10 plagues come upon Egypt, and they had light in the land of Goshen where they live. They saw God deliver them with a mighty hand. They sang, they danced, they played the tambourine, the 15th chapter of Exodus, and shouted at victory after the Egyptian army was drowned in the sea, and sang unto the Lord, "We have triumphed victoriously, the horse and the riders thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory." It's all there. Miriam danced with her cymbals. And now they're saying, "No, we can't do what God says we can do. I know God says we can have it, but I say we can't." Whoa. What? You say you can't have what God says you can? God's the one that said you can have this. Who am I to say I can't? Who am I to slap God in the face? What an insult. See, we don't look at it that way, but it is insulting to God to turn down, to deny, and say, "I cannot do what God says I can do." Woo! Y'all out there. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, "Let us go at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we." Oh, really? You and God? Is there anything stronger than you and God? And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. King James, I believe, says evil report. An evil report of unbelief. Unbelief is evil. A bad report of the land which they had spied out. What went bad with their report? What went bad with the report was when they said they couldn't do it. Bringing the fruit wasn't a bad report. And really even telling them about the land and who was there and what the giants were and all that wasn't bad. What was bad is when they said, "We can't do it." It's always a bad report when you said you can't do it. Especially when God says you can. "We're not able to go against this people. They're stronger than we." And they gave the children a bad report of the land, which they'd spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants." I know people died trying to believe God. "And all the people whom we saw in there are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak." You start trusting God and serving God, you better look out. That devil will come after you. He's a big, bad devil. You better look out. "The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." There's the problem right there. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They didn't see themselves as more than conquerors. They didn't see themselves like Caleb saw. "We're well able to overcome." They didn't see themselves like David. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That's the way David looked at that giant. That giant had no covenant. That giant had no favor. That giant had no God. David was the man of God. And you and I are the men and the women of God, not the devil. Woo! Can do, can do, can do. Everybody say can do. Can do. I have a can do attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. You know, Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal, and nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude." Are you with me? If you don't have an attitude of victory, if you don't have an attitude of "I'm well able to overcome," it doesn't matter how much you read the Bible, it doesn't matter how much you stand on as far as quoting and so on and so forth. If you don't believe it, if you don't believe it really can happen, if you don't have an attitude, I'm gonna get through this thing. Yeah. I'm gonna win. Amen. I'm well able. Greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. That's right. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Think about David. I mean, I think about David, I think about Joshua, I think about Caleb. We don't have time to go on with the story. You can read right on in the 14th chapter. I'll tell you what happened. All those spies died. And that whole generation perished in the wilderness over the next 40 years. And after 40 years, Joshua and Caleb were still alive and leading the pack and crossed into the Canaan land, and they experienced it because they believed. Because they had a can-do attitude.